Well, I'm delighted to be at the New Vic Theatre talking to Jill Rizzano about education work here. Lovely to have you on A View from the Wings.
It's lovely to be with you, Carol.
Yeah. Now, this year is a very special year for the New Vic Theatre, 40 years on this site. A lot of interesting things going on project-wise. Can you tell me a little bit about your own history with the New Vic Theatre?
Yes, so although I don't remember the building of this theatre, I have been with the company for quite a long time now, and it was very apparent to me when I joined how important the community is to us as a company and to us as a building. Unlike a lot of theatres, we don't have a programme studio, so we always say that the community is our other space. So everything that we do with schools, with community groups, with individuals, all contributes to the New Vic. Everyone is part of that work. And I think I was very aware also of the heritage of the New Vic and how much it had meant to the community, and the fact that in 1986, when the theatre was built, it didn't come out of nowhere. All of those people who fundraised, who gave their time, gave their energy, gave their money to make this place happen, did that because they already knew the history of the company and how it had evolved through working with local stories, local people, local heritage. So everybody wanted to put everything they had into creating a space that was a permanent building for us on this site. A building that, if anyone knows us, will know is round, the stage is round, the building's round. It's about being inclusive, it's about the community telling stories to itself, to each other. And to put it very bluntly, there are no bad seats, you know? It's just one of those places where everyone belongs.
Yes, very much so. I mean, I myself have a long association with the theatre, and I love the New Vic Theatre, as I did the old theatre as well. We often think of it as a place to go to, you know, adults are going to it, they're seeing the performances. But what you've just said about the inclusivity and the real importance of education for a wider cohort of people, and it's not just young people, it's older people as well who can get involved. So can you tell me a little bit about some of the specific projects that you've had over the years, or any that you've been particularly passionate about? I'm sure you're passionate about all of them, being the head of education. But are there any projects that particularly stand out that you can remember as being really beneficial for those who participated in them?
Yeah, we are passionate about everything we do. And I think that shows through in terms of the commitment that we put into them. So you're quite right, it isn't just for young people, it's for everybody and at every stage of life. So I think just because we do start so young, one of the projects that I would highlight is our Tale Trail, which is our installation that we do at Christmas with actors. It's a storytelling installation that reflects the main house show. It's immersive, which means we create an environment in a space downstairs. So it could be the world of Wonderland, it could be Under the Sea for the Little Mermaid, but it draws very young children and their families into the world of the story, to explore, to navigate the dilemmas and the intrigue and the adventures of those characters, and to help the actors through that, but just to feel that they are in a world that story exists around them, and it's magical. And I think how it helps children to think about what they're seeing and experiencing, and to work in a really sensory way. It works really well for children with additional needs. It's completely accessible. And we have had comments from families who have children with additional needs. And what they enjoy about it is the fact that nobody does anything differently. There's no special entrances or exits. There's no special thing that you have to do. It is the experience for everybody, and it's perfectly accessible. So we love that. Right at the other end, we have our Ages and Stages Theatre Company, who are a resident company of older theatre makers, which began as a collaboration with Keele University, 15 years ago, and is now a self-standing group. So everybody comes along because they are hungry for theatre, hungry to make theatre, people in their 70s and 80s. who also support more vulnerable groups, for example, our dementia and creativity groups. So we have a programme of creative ageing, which includes dementia and creativity, and we have medical students on placement with that. So they're all projects that allow, yes, that artistic product to be out there, but they give opportunity. So just going back to Tail Trail, last year we had a bursary for an early career neurodivergent director to work with us. He was brilliant and actually enhanced what we did so much. We give those placements to students, medical students. So there's always a learning opportunity in every event. Even though that event might be created for entertainment, we might have people who are in our youth theatre who are kind of just starting out in their careers, coming back to work with us on various projects. So I think the longevity sometimes of connection are the things that are memorable to us, because we can see the progress of people moving through.
Yes, and I'm really glad you mentioned the Tail Trail, because I think that was one of the earliest things I brought my own daughter to, and then she progressed and came involved, the young cast. And I think it was a magical experience for her, as it would be for many young children, to actually come into a venue like this, which is very strange to them and it's very new. Do you find that people who do get involved, it doesn't matter at whatever level, but do they come back and do they progress and do they then perhaps go on to other projects themselves, but then maybe become obviously a visitor and come later on and see the performances in relation to, you know, the generalised offering, not just the young offering?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we have many, many examples of children who, like yourself, start out in drama club at a very young age, preschool, and will stay with us till they're 18 or 19. They may then go off into other education. Quite often they will come back and get involved in other projects. They're definitely all gateway projects.
Yes.
We have members of our older companies who have become audio describers, so working with us to provide the description for people who might be visually impaired. So once you're in, the opportunities open up. Older adults who become part of companies on stage, community companies on stage. Again, as you've just mentioned with your daughter, it might be youth theatre or a visit that has encouraged people to want to take part performing. We're going to be starting a tech club, a backstage tech club soon, because we've had lots of work around careers, but we want something consistent. And, you know, I think also with schools, it might be because a teacher has been to see something that they recognise they could do some learning with their children. So it does tend to, one thing does tend to lead to another. It's very rare that it's all you do is come and see a show. Because also as a venue, there might just be people who come in for lunch or a coffee. Because of where we are situated between Stoke Centre and Newcastle Centre, it's quite residential. I think there are people who just come in to socialise with their friends, see an exhibition, but it's meaningful as a space.
Yes.
And might come and see something, but they just appreciate the creative atmosphere. And I see all kinds of pockets of things going on here, like people having their own little groups and meetings, and that's what the space is for. You know, it's one of those one of those places where we are really welcoming. So Tuesday morning we have Open House Cafe, which is free coffee, free tea, free refreshments for everybody in the community to come in. And because it's free, as quite a lot of our events are, you feel better saying to somebody who might be isolated or who you know, come with us, come along to this, because it's no cost.
I'm really interested that you said that, because one of the things that immediately came to my mind, particularly with the epidemic of loneliness, what an important community hub it is. And again, also linking on from that, I'm just thinking of Peter Cheeseman, who I knew and I remember, you know, how marvellous he would think about the theatre. I mean, he set it up as a theatre, but to think now of the many aspects of it and what it offers to the community, I think is absolutely phenomenal, Jill.
Yeah, and I don't think that ethos will ever go, because it was built on the community. It was built here because it was needed and it was wanted and it was embraced by the community because of all that work connecting with people's own stories. And that's something that we still live by. You know, it's right at the heart of every single thing we do. And you know, we do quite a lot of free backstage tours, all of those things, because it's your theatre. It's not ours. Yes. It's yours. Yes. And that's who it belongs to, and we never forget that. We never want to forget that. Yes. So it's really important to us that people feel free to come in, and I know Teresa, our artistic director, feels exactly the same, and to see, you know, legions of young people and children running through the building is just, it just shows that we are doing what we are set up to do. And again, I think Peter just started with the assumption, you'll do this, won't you? Not, oh, we'd be really grateful if you all came in and brought the children. It was just, yeah, you'll do this, won't you?
Yes.
There was
yes.
an assumption, why wouldn't you?
Yes.
And I think, obviously, we know sometimes venues can be a barrier to people. But, our, you know, the drawbridge is permanently down. We don't know how to bring it up. It's always open. It's always... there's always an open invitation.
And I think you really hit the nail on the head there when you're talking about the value of the New Vic Theatre and so many aspects to it. This year is the 40th anniversary. Yeah. You've talked a lot about the history there and the importance and what the theatre gives to the community and how the community feeds into the theatre. But are there any very specific things that are relating to the 40th anniversary in relation to celebrating it?
Yeah, so look out, because Education is working on something called 40 Stories. So we'll be out and about in the community, popping up all over the place in a variety of guises. So some of our oldest youth theatre, Young Company, will be out telling stories. We'll have professional actors out there. We'll have our own theatre makers who will get involved. So we're popping up all over the place because stories are at the heart of what we do. So the best way for us to celebrate that 40 years is to have stories out in the community. And I think for us, you know, there's no better way of doing that than thinking about those things. So we've just done Good Golly Miss Molly, as some people may have come to see, and we had members of community groups in Tunstall coming to see it and sharing some of their stories with actors when they met them. So there's an exchange of story there, but it was very clear that they recognised so much in the show. So we're still hopefully, you know, making that connection. It was the perfect show to celebrate, I think, 40 years, because there was enjoyment but also recognition. And when you feel something is speaking to you directly, you feel you belong, but doing that in a really, really high quality way, so you know that your stories are worth telling, and telling in a way that is authentic and done in a way that is the best possible quality that we can put out there.
Yes, absolutely. And I would imagine that gives a lot of scope for many people to get involved. I would imagine also you're very busy prepping. I don't like to say this in April, but you're very busy prepping for the Christmas production.
Yes, it's not in February. Prepping, yes. Yeah, definitely. It is. I mean, it is a very, very important show to us. So if you ever ask children, have you been here before? 99% of the time, the first visit will have been the Christmas show. So it's a really important show to us, because it's when we get some of our biggest younger audiences in, families, maybe visitors who only come to the theatre once a year. So we don't do panto, as you know. We do story-based theatre, great stories well told. And what we enjoy about that is they go on way past Christmas, and it doesn't matter because the story still holds. So we have a lot of schools who come post-Christmas. We produce resources for those schools, and it just feels like it lights up your new year a little bit. But Christmas does start early. The planning for it, the amount of preparation that goes in. You know, our workshops are full of, you know, props that might not ever see the light of day, but they just, you know, are being made as sort of prototypes of things. The music, the story, the script, it feels like it has to be something that is special every single year. It has to have a specialness. And as I say, it's the one where we see the most people. So we have to make sure every single person who comes along wants to come back. And I do know families who always brought their kids, and then their kids grow up and move away. And one woman was telling me that they'd always come, and then her son came home for Christmas, and she said, oh no, we're not going. He was devastated, thinking, yeah. what do you mean we always go, even though he was kind of, you know, yes. much older.
Yes.
it had become such a part of their lives that he was really shocked that they were not going to go, because just because they weren't children anymore didn't mean that wasn't part of their ritual.
Yeah, absolutely. And I come along with my daughter, and she's 21 this year. And it is absolutely firmly on the Christmas calendar. I have noticed, Jill, the last couple of years, there hasn't been a young cast compared to a few years ago. Is that changing for this year's production?
This year's production is very much a work in progress at the moment.
Yes.
We first couldn't do our young company because of the dreaded lockdown and COVID, but that actually was a very interesting year for us. It was a terrible year in many ways, but it taught us a lot about community. Because even though I'd worked in the area for quite a long time, and I'd always thought, gosh, we've got a weekly group for this group and a weekly group. Isn't that marvellous? We learned how long a week is for people who are isolated. And it changed our practice massively. It's partly why Open House Cafe was born, because we knew people couldn't wait a whole week for their group. We did a lot of phone calling in the week. So, yes, certain things did go on ice during that time. But what it taught us was massive as well. And I think it's helped us in many ways to connect with communities in a bigger way, because we don't take anything for granted now. And, you know, it'd always been the gold standard. Week by week, we see this group. A week is too long for a lot of people. So we have to have those touch points in the week now, which we do. But yeah, so it's lots of things feel like blessings and curses all at the same time, really. But yeah.
Yes, I can imagine. I can imagine. I mean, one of my interests as a former teacher as well, talking about young people involvement, is the amount of skills that they can develop by being involved with the theatre. And it's not just your acting or your performance skills. I think in relation to confidence and interaction, and you've mentioned yourself technical now. So do you feel that as an organisation, you are valuable in relation to imparting vocational skills that can help a person holistically, not just in relation to theatre?
Absolutely, definitely, without a doubt. So we again, obviously we start off with very young children, but there is a lot of evidence to say that story affects children's brain development and really develops how they navigate the world. So hearing stories, whether they're read stories or invented stories or remembered stories from parents, grandparents, teachers, that thinking about the construction of narrative. So we have out consequences, predicting what might come next, solving dilemmas, inference, all of those things that might not feel immediately that you are imparting, you are. And it helps children to find their way through the world, really. We also have a massive amount. Theatre basically is problem solving. And problem solving is something that for a lot of young people is very difficult. A lot of young people find themselves in trouble, in bother, because they can't problem solve. How do I get myself out of this situation? How do I solve this? And when they work with us to create a piece of theatre or drama, what we're doing at the very heart of it is solving a problem. We've got this play to put on, we've got this to do, how are we going to do it together? And you get a multiple perspectives on that, and you solve the problem actively. You learn specific skills. They could be scene design skills with Arts Award, they could be all kinds of specific skills. Communication skills are very key for young people. So yeah, there's so many things that you learn as you go along, as well as those specific skills that we might do in a backstage workshop, even before you get there. And, you know, I always kind of say to the groups that I work with, theatre's a bit like crossing the road. As long as you look and as long as you listen, you'll be all right. And I don't need to tell you how risky it is if you don't look and you don't listen. But generally, they are the skills that you need. Observation, listening, and you will be able to take part. You'll know what's happening around you. You'll know how you can contribute. So all of those skills are so important. They are developed week by week or by specific workshops. But as I say, it's story that starts at the very basic level.
Yeah, and that's really interesting to hear. And one other thing I did want to ask, thinking about what people learn and how people are supported by theatre, is how the work here at the theatre links into supporting mental health issues. That's a big interest of mine, Jill, not only in my educational work, but I personally see it as such a wonderful opportunity to have some escapism just by coming to a performance. But is there anything specifically you're doing here to support that very difficult situation, which many people, whether they're young and old, whether it's post-COVID, for whatever reason, when they're struggling with mental health issues?
Yeah, well, specifically, our Borderlines department do a number of mental health projects that are specifically targeted with young people and other people who may be at risk of mental illness, mental unwellness. Also, I think you're right. I think some things are related to the idea of mental well-being in general and maintaining your mental well-being, whether that is coming consistently to a group and being able to interact with other people. Isolation is a huge cause of mental unwellness as well. Yes. We work with young carers. We have a group for young carers in Newcastle and in Stafford, which gives those young people a chance to be themselves, be creative, talk to other young people, and just have some relief from the stress that they feel. So I think one of the things that we think is really important is consistency. So with youth theatre, for example, week by week you have a place where you can come and you can interact with other young people. As I say, we do have the targeted groups, but also I think the consistency of what you can do helps. As for coming to theatre and as for coming to see shows, absolutely. So we make sure that our older and more vulnerable groups have tickets for shows, so we make sure that they come and we pay for those tickets. We have some people in our Dimension Creativity groups who would regularly come as a couple or a family to see our shows, might have felt they couldn't at some point because of their diagnosis. So now we have a way of bringing everyone together to relax performances. So I think also theatre helps you to process story. It helps you to process what characters might be going through and to take a step back from situations and look at what happens in that story. It's a very human thing to do, to be in a space with someone telling you a story, and we happen to do it in a certain way with that magical piece of storytelling equipment that is our stage. Yes. But any way that you engage with story, it does something to the human mind, I think, that is really beneficial.
Yes, it does. And I think really now, Jill, you've told me an awful lot about what's going on here at the theatre, what's been going on over the years. Do you think that the New Vic Theatre has another 40 years ahead?
I think it really has. I think it's got 400, hopefully, years ahead, put a zero onto it. Yeah, I do. I think actually more and more people are connecting with us. I think there's more and more that we can do. There's more potential. There's more, you know, potential in the community. And there's more need. There is just more need. We're living in a very complex society, a very complex society. And I think there's even greater need to come together as human beings. We have a saying when we're very lucky with our funding, but we have a saying when funds are low, it doesn't have to be lavish, but it does have to be live.
Yes.
And we have to give people that live experience, that human experience of connecting away from our screens, away from our social media, all of those things where you are human to human, hearing those stories. And it goes, you know, as soon as we could build a fire outside a cave, you know, as soon as we could share our experiences with one another, as soon as there was a way of doing that, we did it. And I think as long as there are human beings who need to connect, the New Vic will be there to do that too.
Well, that's a joy to hear for my ears, for sure, because I'm all for being more active rather than focused on technology. Technology has its place,
Absolutely, but
obviously the arts and creativity are vitally important. Now, Jill, if people want to get involved with any of the education projects, could you let us know how they could do that?
Yes, certainly. So you can check out our website. If you'd like to email us directly, we are education@newvictheatre.org theatre.uk. Very happy to talk about ideas as well as everything else that you might have on your mind. But yeah, just let us know whether you're an individual, a parent, a grandparent, a teacher, a young person. There'll be something for you. And obviously we do outreach as well. We're in schools and community settings, libraries. So we'd love to hear from people. Come to Open House Cafe Tuesday mornings, free cuppa. And yeah, tell your friends. Everybody's welcome. Everybody is welcome.
Well, I just like to say a big thank you for talking to us at A View from the Wings, and all the best for this year and for your continuing career here at the New Vic Theatre, Jill.
Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, and thank you for coming to speak to us.